In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. As the brother announced, we are going to talk about the difference among Muslim scholars who are specialized in morality or ethics regarding the appropriate method or the appropriate approach to morality or to akhlaq. So we are not going to talk about different methods among non-Muslim moralists or philosophers, because it will be totally different. And the importance of this topic is to help us realize what would be the best way that we ourselves can deal with our moral problems, and how can we improve ourselves if we don't distinguish between different methods. So everything that we hear or we read, we might take for granted, and then we might implement it in our life, and then we will not make the required progress. Inshallah, I will try to be very brief and very specific in my talk, but as you appreciate, this topic is very important. It cannot be summarized. So I will do my best, and I will trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask help and guidance from Him. One of the earliest methods among Muslim scholars in the field of akhlaq has been to adopt a philosophical approach to akhlaq. You know that Islamic philosophy is an independent reality. We don't believe, as some people believe, that Islamic philosophy is just some form of Greek philosophy. We believe that Islamic philosophy is independent and it has its own identity. However, historically, the first Muslim philosophers, besides their use of the Islamic sources, they used also Greek sources, as it is the proper way in every science. You cannot start your discovery and scientific inquiry without consulting the previous scholars. So Muslim philosophers also consulted the Greek philosophers and benefited from some of the correct ideas that they had, especially in the Aristotelian approach to philosophy. But in the end of the day, they had their own philosophy. So in the field of akhlaq, the first and the, perhaps we can say, one of the first methods which was formed in the Islamic world was the philosophical method. And this method, although completely loyal to the Quran and to the Islamic creed, but in general it was influenced by the Aristotelian and sometimes Socratic approach to ethics. So you see that Muslim scholars have written books such as, for example, Akhlaq al-Nasiri, or for example, like Taharat al-A'raq, and to some extent even Jama' al-Sa'adat, which mostly treat akhlaq in a philosophical way. They say that the subject of akhlaq is human soul, or human soul and human voluntary actions, different ways, but it's not very much important for us. And human soul, to become happy, to become in the way that we are pleased with has to be taken care of in different areas. Or in other words, human soul has different faculties. I mean by faculty what we call it in Arabic and Persian, qudra. This is different from power. Some people translate it as power, but it's not power. Faculty is the proper technical word for this. It means a dimension of your soul which originates a special type of behavior or action or something like this. So they say human soul is composed of different faculties. For example, we have the intellectual faculty. We have the anger faculty, the faculty which is the origin and the source for our anger. You know, if any animal, it's not just about human beings, if any animal lacks anger, it would not survive. Because to be able to defend yourself, to be able to be sensitive about the dangers that threaten you, you have to have the faculty of anger. And we have also the faculty of appetites and lust, which is called in Arabic and also with some minor alteration in Persian, al-qubbatu shahabiyya, which is the source for our desires related to the procreation and the source for the continuity of the human generation. And we have also the faculty which is the source for our imagination and for our wahm. So very shortly they say that each faculty has its own virtues and its own vices, its own right and its own wrong actions. For example, regarding the intellectual faculty, if a person is very simple-minded, doesn't think, doesn't reflect on what he or she hears or reads or studies, and accepts very quickly and easily whatever he or she receives, this person is not a good person, is not a perfect person. Avicenna has a beautiful statement. He says, you know, you have heard this famous sentence, which he says that whatever you hear from the strange things, and there is no reason to think that it's impossible, so suppose that it's possible. This is the famous thing that you have heard. But the other thing, which is also very beautiful but less known, he says, whoever has got used to, accept whatever he or she hears without having reason, he or she is no longer a human being. من تعبد على أن يصدق بغير دليل فقد خرج من الكسرة الإنسان. It's possible that sometimes it happens to us that we accept something without having reason. It's okay. But if it becomes a habit that the person accepts without reason whatever he is told or she is told, Avicenna said this person is no longer a human being. Because the most important characteristic of human being is to have the power to distinguish, to use the intellectual faculty. So if someone easily accepts, it is no longer a human being. Anyway, so this is one side of the extreme, to be very, very simple-minded and accept whatever one hears or studies. The other extreme side, the other opposite pole, is to be too rational. There are some people who are too rational. They want to justify everything with their limited rational capacity that they have. And they fail, and then they become a skeptic about everything. So we have in the history of philosophy some people who were in the first of time, in the beginning they were philosophers, but then they become Sufis, because they couldn't prove those things that they thought they must prove. For example, they wanted to prove the appropriateness of the rational method. With the rational method, this is something impossible. No one can say that I want to argue for the reliability and trustworthiness of the reason by the reason. This is impossible. It's not because there is a problem with our intellect. It's because we expect too much from our reason. So there have been some Sufis who have been very skeptic. Of course, some of them in their life, they were not Sufis. Most of them in their lives, they were behaving as rational people. But when they were teaching, when they were talking to their students, they pretended that they have doubt about everything. But there was a person who was very loyal to his own way of thinking, and it's been said that when he was walking on the street, his student used to accompany him and take care of him. Because if, for example, there was, something dangerous on his way, or there was a hole on the way, he would say that there is no reason to think that it's a reality. So he might go inside the hole and then hurt himself. This was the only person on record that was 100% Sufis. Otherwise, in their normal life, they didn't take the Sufism seriously. Anyway, it is not just to show that even the intellectual faculty might sometimes be misused, and it sometimes might be very, very radical, and sometimes might be very, very least used. But the best way that these moralists tell us is to be just in the middle, to strike a balance, not to go to any side of the extremes, just to be in the middle, to be just, to be balanced in this. And then again, for example, about the faculty of anger. There are some people who are very easily getting angry. They have no control of themselves. As soon as they, for example, hear something unpleasant, they become angry and they want to fight. This is a radical way of using this faculty. They don't have any control of this faculty. These people are not morally right. And there are some other people who have no sensitivity to anything. If you swear at them, if you fight against them, if you beat them, they don't become angry. This is also not good. In Farsi, we say these people are like potato. They don't have any sensitivity. So this is also not good. But the person who knows when to become angry and when to calm down, this person is morally an acceptable model. So this is what they call it. In Arabic, they call it shajar. It's bravery. So bravery is the middle between being very, very angry, aggressive, and being very insensitive. And also regarding the faculty of, thank you, desires and sexual instincts. Also, again, there are some people who are very, very radical in the sexual affairs. These people might commit adultery. On the other side, there are some people who have no sexual desire at all. And this is a type of disease, that there are some people who have no desire for their opposite sex, and so even sometimes when they get married, then they have to separate because they don't have any feeling. This is also not good. What is important and what is morally right is to have the sexual desire, but in your own control, and this is called modesty. This is called effat. So a happy person is the one who has striken the balance in all these faculties: intellectual faculty, the faculty of anger, and the faculty of the sexual desire. So this person has become a perfect person in view of these people. To a great extent, this idea is correct, but it's not 100% correct, because there are some problems. It's sometimes very difficult to define what is the right measure of each virtue. It's very difficult to define justice. And there are some virtues that cannot be defined as a balance between two sides. For example, about telling truth and telling lies. You cannot say telling lies is, for example, the extreme form of telling truth or something like this. So it has some difficulties, this method, but to a great extent it's successful, and this is why some Muslim scholars have followed this approach, this method, and some very useful books have been written, as I mentioned some of them. But perhaps the more important problem with this way of dealing with akhlaq is that it's very technical, and it cannot engage ordinary people, it cannot move ordinary people. It's a very, you can say, rigid and very tough or dry. So mostly people are interested in the next two methods that I'm going to say, inshallah.